Good morning, and welcome to episode 8 of the PDA Writing Podcast. I hope all of those who live in America had a good Thanksgiving, as I'm recording this on the Friday afterwards. And according to my calendar, Hanukkah starts next Monday, so happy Hanukkah for those who celebrate. Today, we are reading Imminent Retrospect, Chapter 8 from P.I. Cohn and the Bicentennial. Please, enjoy. The visit to Mr. Rawlings had been unsettling. Chris was no longer working on the case. Dale couldn't blame him. His father was a person of interest in a murder investigation, and then there was just the little fact of him having a brother Chris hadn't known about all his life. Chris knew that the investigation was safe in Dale's hands. He would have assigned another cop to Dale if he didn't have any confidence in the PI. Chris did not want to find out any more lies from his father. Dale now had full access to whatever they needed from the police department. Chris had made sure to greenlight it before he decided to take some time off of work. Dale wished him well, then carried on with the investigation. They were set up at Andrew's. Dale was tired of looking at the hotel walls, and Andrew had graciously agreed to let them take up space in his house. Andrew had a spare office. Dale was wondering who had a spare office, but didn't question it. They were just happy to have somewhere to work that was more like what they were used to. The interview had forced Dale to change their perspective on the investigation. Their main idea was that whoever she had been dating was the person who killed her. And while there was something weird about the interview, Dale did truly believe that Mr. Rawlings did not kill Victoria. The brother looked like a good suspect, but he was dead, and there was no current way to figure out if he did it or not. For now, Dale just needed to review what they had found over the course of all of this. Victoria was killed the 4th or 5th of July, 1976, and thrown into the lake. The last time anyone saw her or her sister was during the 4th of July celebrations the town had that year. The sister Mary still had yet to be found and cannot be confirmed dead or alive. Victoria had a son named Christopher on June 27, 1976. The father was Mr. Rawlings, who had been dating her for a while. Charles Rawlings, Mr. Rawlings' brother, broke Victoria's hand by slamming it in a door. She had told Mr. Rawlings that she was planning on moving to the city with her sister. Charles had taken offense to that. It was more than what they had to start with, but it still wasn't enough. There were too many questions. The fact that the sister is still nowhere to be found is troubling. They were last seen together. There was always the possibility that Mary killed her twin and then went on the run. But that didn't sit right with Dale. Mary didn't seem like the type to murder her sister. If the death had been ruled an accident, then it might be a little bit more plausible. But it was a definite murder. So where was Mary? What had become of her? Was she dead too? Or did she witness her sister's death and then ran fearing for her own life? Mary is a common name. She could have easily hidden in the city. Dale would love to ask more from the people who were still alive from that time, but no one seemed to know anything before, and they doubted they would know anything now. Then there was a child, the baby, the son. It was easy to lose a newborn. Even if the people who raised the child kept the name Christopher, the child would still be hard to locate. Christopher was a common name. Dale knew from experience working adoption cases that the people who adopted young children, babies, would at times change the name of the child. There was no guarantee that the child was still named Christopher. Mr. Rawlings had said that the child was with relatives. What relatives? Who were these people that were supposedly related to Victoria and her child? They hadn't done much research on the parents, but they doubted they would get very far. These relatives could easily be friends of the family or so distantly related that tracking birth and marriage records would be a pain. But they should still take a look, just to be on the safe side. 5 hours later and 4 cups of coffee later, Dale still had nothing. The records indicated that Mr. and Mrs. Stevens were both only children, which, of course they were. Both of their sets of parents had died by the time of the Bicentennial. There was nothing. Nothing there. Dale pushed back their chair and groaned loudly. Andrew popped his head into the spare office.
Everything all right in here?
No! Dale threw up their hands. Nothing is coming together. I can't find a single piece of information that gets me anywhere. Andrew eyed the coffee mugs on the desk.
Come.
He held out his hand for Dale. What? Why? Dale whined.
Come.
Andrew repeated. Dale groaned and got up from their chair. They eyed Andrew's hand before taking it. Fine, they muttered. Andrew led them to the living room and sat them down on the couch.
Stay here. I'll be right back.
Dale flopped backwards and closed their eyes. They hated cases like these. Cold cases were hard in general, yes, but there were always ones where no one knew anything or there was very little information available. Dale always got stuck. They were still able to solve most of them, but that was beside the point. The point, Dale thought, was just to be overdramatic and fussy right now. They needed the release after the interview and then getting nowhere today. Andrew came back into the living room with a steaming cup and handed it to Dale. Dale took a sip. This is cocoa.
I know.
I prefer coffee.
I know, but I figured you didn't really need more caffeine right now. You are already hyped up enough.
Andrew said as he lounged on the other end of the couch. What if I decided I didn't like you? Dale stuck out their tongue like a 5-year-old.
We both know that's not the case.
I wanted to not like you at one point, Dale said quietly, suddenly serious.
I know.
Andrea was quiet as well.
It's part of why things happened the way they did.
I know.
It's kind of what got those last months going, if you think about it.
Andrew continued. I know. Dale rubbed their face, their voice quiet. I knew I couldn't have expressed my gender properly with my grandmother when she was alive. She wouldn't have understood, and you know the look she would have given me when I was trying to explain it. Andrew laughed softly. I knew I was already leaving, of course. The plan at the time had been with you, but anyway. I decided to see what the town thought about the true me. They didn't like me much to begin with. What was the harm in making sure they knew who I was truly? It was like the words were being pulled from their lips. They wanted to get it all out for the longest time, and now that they had started, they didn't know if they could stop. So, of course, I went to the person that I knew would tell everyone, and I told them I was non-binary, that I did not see gender in two defined roles like everyone else in this town seemed to. That I told them that he, him did not fit me and that they, them would work a whole lot better. It'd be more accurate to say the least. It wasn't long before the entire town knew. This town has a gossip problem. Dale smiled. They knew Andrew knew most of this, but Dale had to tell him everything, even if it made no difference now. There were a few people, of course, that I made sure to tell before the town gossip could get to them. One of them being Steph, my girlfriend. Another was Chris, in case you're curious.
Chris was one of the first people you told?
Andrew was intrigued. Yeah, besides you, he was one of the few nice people to me. I technically told him and Elia together. But yeah, I had told Stephanie.
And she ended your relationship over it.
Andrew put simply. In one of the most horrible ways, of course. Dale added. You already know, of course, and we're fine. Chris was confused.
Isn't he always?
Dale snorted. Yes, but he and Elia were quietly supportive. The town, though, hated me for it. They went out of their way to tell me how strange I was, how gross, or how much of an abomination I was. They even told me it had been right for Steph to cheat on me. There were so many ways in which they told me I did not matter. Chris was in the academy and Elia was in school, so they couldn't help me. And then you. You did nothing. You said nothing. If someone was saying horrid things next to you, all you would do was fall silent. There was never any support from you. You still hung out with me, but it was never in public anymore, and I was so angry.
I know. And though this doesn't change what happened, I am sorry about not standing up for you. I wanted to so badly, but I couldn't find the words. I was frozen in all that hate, and I didn't want to get it sent my direction. I was scared.
Andrew admitted.
I did finally say something, but it was after you left. and it was selfish because I used it to pave the way for my transition, and I was still so angry at you for leaving without me. I know it was partly because I didn't say anything, and that you just had to get out of this town. We were both 18, and we just reacted.
After I left?
Yes.
Dale took a deep breath to calm themselves. This still brought up so much anger. How did you get them to accept you? They asked, hoping to redirect the conversation a little bit. They knew Andrew was sorry for what he had done, or rather, hadn't done. But it was still a very deep wound that would take time to heal.
I'm not sure they really have, but I bring so much money to this town with my business. I bring people to this town who will shop and eat and maybe even stay at the hotel. They know if they ostracize me, they won't see any of that money coming their way again. Then there is also Chris and Elia. They supported me without hesitation. Elia was smart enough to play the narrative, do we really want to run another person out of town? She used you leaving to help me stay here.
Dale smiled. That sounds like Elia. Chris is a lucky man to have her.
Still have that crush on her?
Andrew laughed. Dale threw a pellet at him before their face dropped.
What is it? I didn't think it was that bad of a joke.
It's Chris. That's it. I need to go back to see Mr. Rawlings again. He didn't tell us everything yet. I knew there was something missing from his interview. He knows more than what he's letting on. Maybe if I go without Chris this time, I'll be able to get more out of it. Thank you for your office coffee and hot cocoa. Dale thrust the empty cocoa mug into Andrew's hands. I gotta go. Well, I hope you enjoyed Chapter 8, Imminent Retrospect from P.I. Cone and the Bicentennial. I know it was an interesting chapter for me to write because we got a little bit more into Dale's history with why they left and all that stuff and the circumstances surrounding that, because while we get like pieces here and there and more about the relationship with Andrew, there wasn't really a why the rift, why they left without Andrew and all that fun stuff. So you get a little bit more there. But first, in here, we got a review of what was going on with the case. We have Chris leaving because Chris, now it's a conflict of interest. It took me a minute to figure out that phrase because obviously Chris's father was a person of interest. To be fair, it's a small town. It's kind of hard to not sometimes have those conflict of interests because obviously everybody knows everybody. But Kale, apparently... I'm trying to say Chris and Dale at the same time. But Chris just didn't want to deal with it. He trusted Dale to be able to do the stuff. So Chris is like, I'm going to go spend some time elsewhere, probably with my wife. And then you can handle the rest of this, basically. Which obviously Dale is more than willing to do. They've handled full cases by themselves before in the city. So they're okay with it. And they understood Chris. And so they're like, yeah. Go, do your things. I'll finish this. Don't worry about it. But yeah, we get the overview of what we learned, who Victoria was dating, what the name of the child was, even though they're staying with relatives, and there's still no sign of the child, or the sister Mary, too. And Dale puts out some theories, but still, like, you don't know. Like, there's just too much information missing to really get a really good theory going on. And then Dale goes through the birth and marriage records because obviously the child is supposed to be staying with family. But of course he finds nothing with those records, and which is also frustrating. I mean, I would be frustrated too if I spent 5 hours shifting through marriage records and birth records and all that fun stuff just to get nowhere. I mean, sometimes I feel that way at work because I work in customer service. But in any case, Dale decided that they just need to be fussy and overdramatic. And I know the feeling. I so know the feeling. It's just when you either had a bad day at work or when you just like, there's like just so much going on. All you want to do is just like become a child again, basically have a tantrum. That's basically like Dale just like, yeah, I need to do this a little bit to kind of calm myself down and then I'll be fine. And also, they've had an inordinate amount of caffeine. Hello, well, I don't know what's happening to my voice this. So, yeah, I understand that. Sometimes it's just fun to be fussy and overdramatic. I know my sister, whom I live with, can attest to that. Well, can attest to me just being fussy and overdramatic because I find it amusing. But then Andrew pulls Dale out of his spare office, which, again, who actually does have a spare office? Andrew must be making bank. But yeah, taking Dale out of the spare office to kind of calm them down and get them thinking about other things. Partially because Andrew's smart enough to know that sometimes if you've been thinking about the same thing too much over and over again, that you end up going in circles, you're not processing the information correctly, and that sometimes you need a distraction so that your subconscious can process the information. So, and that, I do that too. It's like, oh my God, I'm thinking about the story. What do I do? Like, and I kept on thinking in circles, and then I'm just like, okay, no, do something else for a little bit. Take your mind off of it. And then generally by the time I come back, I have at least a little bit of something to go on because I was able to take the time to figure stuff out. So, but yeah. They end up sitting on the couch having hot cocoa instead of coffee. And Dale's just giving, like, Andrew, like, death looks for giving them hot cocoa instead of coffee. Being ridiculous, purposely ridiculous, of course. And then they start talking. They start talking about why Dale left, or at least the situation around Dale leaving, because Dale always knew that they were going to be leaving. It was just, there was more to the situation than what originally had been anticipated, because obviously Andrew was supposed to go with Dale originally. But because Andrew didn't support Dale when Dale was going through the hate that the town showed them, Dale just left. They didn't want to deal with anything. They fully admit, maybe not in the words on my story, but in their head, I know they fully admit that they were running away. They didn't want to deal with anything. They wanted to get away from everything that town represented. And so they went to the city without Andrew. Because, and part of them know that taking Andrew with them would be taking a part of the town with them. And at that moment in time, they didn't. Not with how everything ended. Not with their girlfriend cheating on them. Not with Andrew not supporting them. And not with the entire town hating on them. And then also, their grandmother had died a few months prior too. So there was also all of those memories of her as well. So there was all so many things that led them away. Which I understand. But then also, of course, letting all this out, because Dale just needs to let all this out. They figure out a little bit about the case. They figure out that Mr. Rawlings wasn't saying everything. And that there was more questions to be had. And that maybe going without Chris, that they would actually get somewhere. And if so, that'll be something that we see next chapter. Which, that'd be two more chapters. Ooh. We're getting so close to figuring out who the murderer is. Aren't you guys excited? Because I definitely am. And to be fair, I don't know if I knew who the murderer quite was until I knew better what the last few chapters were going to be. So sometimes that's the case. I guess that's the best way for having a mystery. You don't know who even the author doesn't know who the murderer is until the murderer is revealed. But I mean, sometimes that's hard to plan a story that way because you have to leave clues and hints and all that fun stuff. But in any case, you do get to know more about Dale's background and everything and why they left, but this was kind of like a passing time type of chapter a little bit to kind of get set up for the big reveal that's coming up here soon. It may be in the next chapter. Don't say anything to anyone. And getting all of that set up. But yeah, this is a little bit of information, a little bit of backstory. Not much moving forward quite yet. In any case, I hope you enjoyed Chapter 8, Imminent Retrospect from P.I. Cone and the Bicentennial. If you want to support me, you can do so directly on Anchor, or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/PDAwriting to support me there as well. You can also request a commission from me, and maybe I'll write a story for you, and then you'll hear it later on this podcast. Just email me at commissions@PDAwriting.com. And please consider following me on Twitter at PDA Writing, where I post updates about my writing, when I post chapters, and when I post new podcast episodes. And just some little ditties about what I'm doing with my life and what my cat is up to as well, who's currently laying next to me purring very loudly. So, I hope you guys all have a good rest of your day. I will try to have a good rest of my day, as my Thanksgiving is happening today rather than yesterday, because my family knows me and my sister work in retail and we were working yesterday. So have a good rest of your day. Please consider subscribing to the podcast, and then I'll see you next time in the next episode, where I read Chapter 8, Ancient Revelations from P.I. Cone and the Bicentennial. And there's a big, big thing to coming for you in that chapter. I can't wait to see what you guys think of it.